mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Three Dads Talking About Anime. I'm Chest, aka Chest. Who else is with me this evening?
I'm Colb.
And I'm Ben.
And I'm Ben. I love it. I love the order that we've established for ourselves here. It feels good. How you guys been? How you doing?
Whew.
I waited to crack open my can.
Nice.
Yep.
Oh, what's man, been I feel really... like you were about to say something. Yeah, go ahead.
He was.
It's just been really busy. I felt
that. You've been like absent in the chat.
Yeah. It's just, it. Even though I work the quote 9 to 5, it just feels like it's just not. I there's two things happen at once. I just took a new position at work and Anthony. Thanks everyone. Most involved the sport has been that we've done so far. It's two practices and two games a week. Seems like a lot, but just I definitely did not have that growing up. Just like, do you really got to do that much in 1 week? You know,
that's a lot.
He's enjoying it. I love that he's playing baseball. I didn't play baseball as a kid, so it's kind of cool being at the games and seeing him, you know, get to bat. And like the thing I'm really respecting about baseball is you don't get a lot of opportunities to do things. And so there's such like high pressure in those moments. Like he bats like 2 times a game, the ball to him like half the time a game. So it's just like not a lot happens. So, you know, it can be a really exciting night or a real bummer night. You know, if he strikes out and then just walks or something, it can be kind of a boring night. But he seems like I'm saying more from the parent perspective. He's enjoying kind of no matter what. But sometimes you're just like, whew, we waited 45 minutes to see him bat. And then he walked or something, and it's like, yay, he's on base. But he's loving it. He's doing well. He's 8, and he's playing with 9 to 11 year olds. So it's good for him. It's good for him. Yeah,
I love it.
For your league, are the kids pitching, or is it a parent or the coach?
It is kids pitching. So he went from
that young.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that too. So 2 years ago, Anthony played T-ball, and he didn't play last year at all. I'm guessing that's when the coaches pitch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, yeah, so I mean, there's quite a few walks, and there would be even more walks if kids didn't swing at the ball above their heads or below their shoelaces. But it's it's great. I'm enjoying it. I'm here for it.
Good. Now my friend, so I also played baseball as a young child, and then I chickened out and quit once it got to kid pitch, because my friend who was a pitcher told me that they aim for the kids. So has that been true? Like the kid pitchers will aim to hit the other children?
I have not noticed that.
That's good.
Now, granted, Anthony, his first game, what a kid. He gets hit by the second pitch pretty hard in the back. And I'm just like,
in the
oh,
back?
No.
How?
Well, yeah. Well, because you turn.
You flinch, yeah.
When the ball is coming towards you. So
that
lower
was a
back.
Curveball.
Yeah, it was a curveball. Went around him and hit him right in the back. But then his next bat, I was like, man, this is his first time playing. First game. He gets hit by a pitch. You could tell it hurt. And he gets a base hit the next time he's up. I'm like, let's go. Good job, kid.
Hey, tell him good job.
I will.
Yeah.
I will.
Tell him you told us that story and we were impressed. I don't know, Michael, but you can say we. So
I am.
I'll let him know. And if I forget to let him know, he'll be able to hear this in 10 years when he starts listening to the podcast.
Yep. And he'll be like, wait, dad was disappointed because it was boring.
Yeah.
Oh man. He's like, oh, my whole childhood is a lie. Well, Colb, do you have anything fun or different or anything you want to share?
Tomorrow starts a garage sale season for us.
Ooh. Oh. Like you're selling things or you're going and buying
this time things? Around, yes. We are having a garage sale, and it's pretty huge because a bunch of families are like, hey, take our stuff. Our neighbors moved out of their house, so they have like they just like left all of their furniture. So I got new furniture out of this person's house to sell for them. Yeah, it was great.
So you got to experience my job then, because that's what I do is move furniture out of people's houses. I mean, when we take donations for our clients, we literally are going into people's houses, taking the stuff that they are moving or someone passed away, and they're like, you can have this bed or you can have this chest of drawers or dresser or whatever. So we have the straps, like you put on like this strap with the X on the back, and then it's got like a strap that goes underneath that you lace through and you pick up super heavy stuff. It's pretty fun.
That's the real deal.
I didn't have any of that. And my moving partner was a 75-year-old man.
Dude, that's like literally the worst.
Yeah. So needless to say, I was doing most of the lifting.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I was home before my wife. I don't know what happened that day, but then she came home and she said, I feel so bad. And I was like, what happened? And she's like, there was a poor turtle that was on the road and it was spinning. So it had been hit by a car.
No.
I know. That was so sad. And she must have told Issa about it, because all Issa could talk about was the turtle. So I took Issa and we went back and we found it, and it was on the side of the road. It had flipped back over. I did not let her see it because the shell had broke and it was not looking good, but I got it off the road. And then we came back and I was like, she's like, can we do anything for it? And I was like, I don't know, but I could like research if there's like an animal shelter. So I did find out that there's a turtle conservatory hotline that I could call.
No.
So I called.
Wow.
I did. It did not end up working out for two reasons. I tried though, because I went back to see if the turtle was still there, and it had crawled away somewhere. So I'm going to, I prayed a prayer and said, okay, Lord, you got the turtle now. But I couldn't find the turtle to begin with, so it wouldn't have worked out anyway. But when I called the hotline, they were like, oh, we're at the University of NC State or whatever, which is like an hour and 10 minutes away from me, and you'd have to bring it to us. And I was like, I don't know that I'm going to
How much do you love your daughter there, Chest?
Yeah.
No.
Or the turtle won't make the drive.
The turtle. Well, I mean, even like, so tonight I was like, okay, Issa, like, do you want to pray for anything? And she's like, the turtle that died. I was like, oh man. So she remembers that stuff. She still remembers. She'll still bring up when my dog passed away. She'd be like, Riley died. And that's sad. I was like, yeah, yeah, it is. He was a good dog. She's like, yeah, he was a good dog. So she really grasps that stuff. So like, and I never said the turtle died. I just said the turtle got hurt. But she's like, he died. The car hit him. And she knows. I was like, crap. Oh well. But
you didn't want to take it home, try to glue it back together like Kevin Malone from The Office.
Yeah, I like looked that stuff up, and I was like, it actually suggests that. It was like you could use epoxy and like glue the shell together, Mama. But I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do that. So that was my thing. There you go.
Look at our things.
Yeah.
Just three random things. Look at that. Three dads talking about random things.
Three guys and their things.
Kind of a random week there. Yeah. Oh, I did put together a bunch of boxes for like two grandmas. That was completely random. A lady just walked, we were walking down the street, and a lady comes out of a door, like to a business. And she's like, she heard Issa like crying or something, and she thought it was her grandson showing up with his baby. And she's like, oh no, I thought you were my grandson helping me, gonna help me put together these boxes because I'm at my wit's end. And then she looked at Issa and was like, does your daddy know how to put together boxes? And he's like, oh yeah, he does. And she looked at me then and was like, would you help me? And I'm like, sure. So yeah. I did. I went and put together a bunch of, what are they called? Like the filing boxes, like for manila folders. It was a law office that was closing down. It was this like their super old grandmas that were closing it down. Which again is like, it's like the 75-year-old moving the furniture, Colb. I'm like, why are you having these 75-year-old women shut down these offices and like pack up 15 boxes of files? Is there nobody else that can do this?
Yeah.
But whatever. So worked out just fine. They were super nice.
Yeah. Great work ethic, those 70-year-olds.
Yes.
Agreed. I mean, they don't make them like they used to. So
No.
They really don't.
No, the current 75-year-olds they're making are not not what they once were.
No, they're very fragile. You just keep the warranty. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Might need to exchange. Get a new one every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a phone, you know? You used to be able to really keep your phone for a long time. Now it's like a couple years, you got to cycle that thing out. Speaking of phones, they didn't have those in Moriarty because it's set in an older time. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Oh,
That's getting back to how bad my transitions used to be.
Yeah, so that's a chess segue right there.
This used feels to a be? lot more comfortable. Yeah. I've had some good ones recently. There's been some good ones. Not all of them were due
name
to me,
one.
But oh man, I did use your transition from something. What was it? Taxes? No, interest rates. Interest rates for Japan. Isn't that what I used to transition? Credit cards in Japan. Yes, I did use credit cards in Japan to transition last episode. Anyway, go listen to the last episode. I used a transition. Anyway, Moriarty episodes. What is this? 20 and 21.
Yep.
Episodes 20 and 21. Exciting stuff, folks. Feels like it's been a while in the Moriarty world, which is a little sad because I like this show. I always am sad when there's a delay when a show that it's like, hey, this is a good show. I don't want to wait to watch these or have to rewatch them because it's been too long. So, and plus we were on a cliffhanger, literally one of the best ones, the White Knights episodes.
Yeah, I really like part one. That was good.
So part two, show of hands. Did anybody expect it to be this dark?
No.
Yeah, right?
No, not this early.
Holy cow. It got dark so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the scenery, like the plot of it.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's been a while, but I vividly remember saying, I don't think they're going to kill his brother. Spoiler, they do. They kill his brother.
Yeah, I think we're all united with that opinion, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like, nah, they won't do that.
Yeah.
They did. They decided.
They're not going to kill him.
We're going to go that route. We're going to kill his brother in a wheelchair. And that'll be our catalyst to. It was rough, man.
I know. I didn't like that.
I did not either. I was like, okay. All righty then. But so that's the thrust of this episode, obviously, is it gets dark. So, Colb, do you want to kick us off in any direction into this madness?
Well, I mean, you gave away the biggest thing, I guess one of the biggest things of the episode. So I do distinctly remember, I mean, let's just talk about the episode. I'm not going to go through it. I do distinctly remember, I'm just going to call him Irwin. What is his real name?
Irwin. Just say the White Knight. I can't remember his name.
Whitehall?
Whiteley.
Whiteley.
That's right. Whiteley meet with a representative from the new bad guy, right? And he like challenges almost, right? He says like, "Hey, you can come after me, but I'm still doing this thing."
That's he does how, provoke him in some ways.
He really does.
The blackmail that Albert gave to him, right?
It's the news reporter. He met with the bad guy. He met with the actual bad guy.
Oh yeah, Milverton.
Milverton.
Milverton. I forget his first name.
He's got weird glasses and he looks very shady.
He's got naturally wavy white hair.
Mm. Naturally wavy white hair is a pure sign of mischief.
Yep. Suspicious.
As any anime fan will know.
They say that a lot in Gintama, Jess. That's why I said that.
I know. That's why I said it too. And Ben laughed and he didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. It still seemed funny to me.
Yep.
So here's a question. Was Fred supposed to be watching the family? Was that his job?
Yes.
Because the fight that he has with the two henchmen seemed like it came out of nowhere until I thought about it a little more. I'm like, oh, he's probably supposed to be watching the family.
He was going to move in, and then the two henchmen were like, no, no, no. Don't go in there, buddy. You got to let this play out. Because he was going to go stop whatever was about to happen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't
catch that. That's why they fought Fred, is because he could have stopped the murder, basically.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. I did my classic, I haven't watched this in a while, so I just frame skipped through the entire episode. I mean, it helps. I mean, because the second time I went through, that's when it clicked to me what he was doing. Because the first time I watched, I actually wasn't sure what he was waiting for or what he was watching. And then the second time, I'm like, oh, yeah, he was watching the family. And then that got interrupted. That's why the scary of those two little villains said, we don't want you to interrupt our show that we're putting on, with being all the murders in the house. And I'm like, oh.
All the murders in the building.
Yeah. I wish I would have been able to see more of the fight with Fred. Because I love that he was holding his own for a while. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Against two big, pretty big bads.
Well,
they remind me of Sloth from Full Metal and any of the other homunculi.
Envy, maybe? The face?
Maybe Envy, yeah. Be like Fred fighting Sloth and Envy.
I can see that, yeah.
Just a little cameo.
Did the big guy look ridiculous at all to you guys? Or are you like, it kind of works?
It was a little like over the top, maybe, of like, okay, you're clearly a bad guy.
It was over the top, but it was very simple. I mean, he was shirtless, and he had a metal half mask on. So it was like,
it's not ridiculous, but it's kind of ridiculous. You would know he's bad. You would just, he's clearly belongs in a dungeon. He's not a normal part of society.
It's a fair assessment.
Yeah. But basically it's just one big conflict that kind of explodes out of the part. This is part two of a two-parter. LOL. But Fred is stopped from intervening, and they orchestrate to have his Whiteley's little brother murdered, which I really did not expect, amongst other people. The lady, the maid, was murdered. And his other, there's another guy that's murdered, right? There's multiple people.
I can't remember if that's another brother or just like
I can't remember if it was a friend or a brother.
Yeah.
I think it was a friend.
Okay, so he's murdered too. But Whiteley comes home, everybody's dead. And he's like, yikes. This is bad. That's a very understatement. But he freaks out. And then it's the bodyguard from the, what is it, Scotland Yard, is the one that did the murdering. He was blackmailed, classic blackmail, sick person in his family. He's got a, right, sick person in his family. They're going to do something to her. Pull the plug or something like that. He's like, nope, got to take care of my family, which is always what blackmail is typically.
Yep.
And He does. And then he gives the knife to Whiteley and says, okay, take care of it. Just yep. kill me now.
Do what you got to do. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, show of hands, who expected Whiteley to stab him to death?
Well, I... Go ahead, Colb.
Colb did. No, I did. I'm voting. I thought he would. Like, that's a high.
I thought he would,
this
too.
This guy murdered the household with a knife after betraying them because, like, oh, he's the guy who's supposed to be protecting us. I thought he would do it.
I really thought he was.
I was actually surprised when he first said, like, oh, I just can't do it. I'm like, really? You can't? That's so surprising. Then you really are this white knight. But then right after I said that my head and out loud, he just stabbed the guy right in the neck.
Yeah. He did. He did do that.
Yeah, I thought that scene was well done because no matter what you were predicting, you were wrong. Like, I don't think anybody was thinking he would miss. Like, because that was a cliche anime moment. Yeah. Or just cliche. No, that's not just anime. A lot of places will do that where there's this big swing and then it's into the wood next to them or right next to them. And you're just like, oh, okay, this is going to be a hero, a white knight. And then he sees a few images and then boom. And I'm like, what?
And it's a sideways, he stabs him. He just turns the knife sideways and stabs him in the neck without looking. And I was like, oh, wow.
Like he's like, done it before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have missed that swing, not the other swing. Yeah, I was a little sad. I was definitely sad. I was very happy when he was resisting. And I was like, okay, good. This is going to be an ally, blah, 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 blah. And then, nope. You did the whole thing. Now, how many of you, show of hands, I don't know why I'm doing this stick today, but show of hands, how many of you felt like you were watching The Dark Knight during this episode? A little two-face action going on.
I think there's a lot of good comparisons. I wasn't thinking that as watching, but as we're talking about it right now, I think there are a lot of parallels. I think that's...
Well, I mean, especially coming up in the next scene, he walks out of the house with blood on half his face, and half his face is not covered in blood.
Yeah.
So literally two-face. But he's a person that is standing up for justice, gets blackmailed.
Mm-hmm.
He decides to try to save his people by going his own way. He can't. And then when justice fails, he takes it into his own hands. And then he feels like it's hopeless and he gives up. So basically Moriarty is Batman. That's what we've learned today.
Basically. One thing.
Fred is Robin.
Robin, classic. One thing, bringing it back to the stuff with Sam again. So what for me was, even though they didn't show anything, they showed that scene of Sam discovering the maid dead and him like falling off the wheelchair and like scrambling away. That's what I didn't want to see. Not that I wanted to see him die at all, but it would have been a lot less horrific to me if they just found the bodies instead of showing us that scene of Sam scrambling for his life. I was just like, I don't want to watch this. So that's what made it worse for me.
This show is like the edgiest of PG-13 as you can be without getting into R in most cases. It's not going to be the massive, like, showing the blood.
Are you sure?
It does show blood.
He stabbed the guy in the neck and you see it spurting onto his face and all over the floor. I'm pretty sure this would not be a PG-13.
That's true. TV-14 then? There you go. Is that? No, I guess it could be. Then it's a very light R. Because, like, R can go pretty dang far. I'm thinking of like the Patriot where he's hacking hatchets into a dude's face and back. That was one of my first rated R movies. It was the Patriot. Mm.
That was my second rated R movie.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Guess what? No. My first one is
Saving Private
Predator.
Ryan. No. Oh. No.
Alien.
No.
Toy Story.
No.
Oh.
Gladiator.
Oh.
Oh, that makes sense. Man, yeah, I guess that 2000.
Yeah.
My to first me, those movies were like together. That yeah. It's just like there's Gladiator and Patriot, both just like fantastic, somewhat like good, appropriate R-rated movies for a young man to see.
I'm sure mine was The Passion of the Christ. The first rated R movie that most, you know, conservative Christian kids see. Also good Mel Gibson. Also Mel Gibson.
Yes.
I'm just saying. Then you go to the Patriot and you're like, oh yeah, there's the hatchets. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. Actually, I think my first one was Saving Private Ryan. My dad and me watched that and he's like, now you're going to hear a lot of language in this, but this is just how they talked in the war. I was like, okay,
that's,
dad.
That's the only thing he warned you about.
Yeah, that's the only, not the intrils on the beach.
There's a little language in here, boy. Yep.
Is that his guts? Nah, don't worry about that. It was World War II. Okay.
Yeah, he said the anyway. D word. Like, that's a bad one. Don't worry about the violence, though.
Yep. Yeah, don't worry about the violence. We'll just gloss over that. Yeah, so maybe that's why I'm not affected by the Moriarty scenes anymore. Desensitization.
Wow. Thanks, Mark.
Oh, gosh. Too funny. Anyway, yeah, so he kills the killer. He does act on his instincts of vengeance. And then he, unlike Two-Face, who goes into like the evil category, he just downward spirals, goes into depression, goes into worthlessness, and is like, I'm a liar. I'm a hypocrite. I'm done. And he like winds up in a graveyard on a bench, right? It's like a graveyard. It's a dark, gloomy forest, whatever it is. And he's on a bench, and then Moriarty shows up with his boys and he's like, hey, how about we use you for some justice stuff? Let's redeem that darkness within you, blah, blah, blah. That's exactly how
it's a little paraphrasing.
Yeah.
It's a lot more Scooby-Doo than Ro-Ro.
Well, before we describe...
Albert...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Cole.
You go ahead.
Well, I was just going to talk about, I'm realizing Albert's up there for me. I just think he's been solid the whole show. I really like
him. He's a good
dude. He kind of leads the walking up to Whiteley, and Whiteley's just like, man, I don't want you to show any sudden expression or something, but basically I just killed a dude.
Don't panic, but I've now murdered a man in cold blood.
So he's kind of confessing that to Albert. Albert doesn't say a whole lot. And now I'm actually forgetting where it kind of goes. I remember the line Moriarty says, but I don't know what happens between then.
Well, I just told it to you. Let's redeem then that darkness within you.
Doesn't he say, like, I demand your life or something? I'm requesting your life.
Yeah.
I don't think it says demand.
I think it's request. Says
he couches request. It as like, hey, you can still do good, but we need your life for it to work. Yeah. Which is kind of a crazy plan. It's right up the line of Moriarty. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So Milverton is out to slander the White Knight, right? And he's out to ruin his reputation. And Moriarty says, nope, I'm going to snatch that from you. And this was kind of ingenious, in my opinion. Again, I was a little surprised. So much death in this episode. And to be honest, anime's characters don't usually die. They really don't. You watch animes, they don't die. They just don't die. Some people do. But
depending on the anime, yeah.
I mean, just the more anime I watch, the less people die. Not on a consistent basis. But this one had like 6 deaths in it. It was a lot of deaths. It's a lot of characters.
I guess. I can.
We need to do some research on those claims, Just.
I could think of one specific show that has quite a few deaths that we've covered on this podcast.
AOT.
Is it Jorin?
There's some deaths in there too.
Yeah, there's some deaths in there.
It's true. Lightsaber Suki.
It's like everybody, show. Right? Everybody but the harlot Hannah and Jordan the little girl.
Harlot Hannah.
Those are the only two that don't die, right? I'm pretty sure.
Quite a few of them die.
So there you go. Yeah. There's two.
Anyway,
even your joking example, Chess, was not a good one.
This is purely speculative, and I stick to it. No, but there was a lot of people that died in this episode, and Whiteley gets closure by dying. So Moriarty's plan, was. Whiteley shows up, the press and everybody in the public are still scratching their heads. They're like, there's just been a bunch of deaths. We don't know where Whiteley is. We don't know all the details yet. So no one knows that he's murdered the Scotland Yard dude. So he shows up at the courtyard and is like, I'm ready to go through with what I'm going to do, or the parliament. And he's like, I'm going to go through with it. And they're like, yay, it's our man. Rah, rah, he's our dude. If he can't do it, no one can. And he gets up to the front stoop and somebody runs out of the crowd and stabs him in the chest. And that was intense. And again, I didn't expect it. I was expecting something that would redeem him and he's still going to live, basically. Because I was picturing they would use him, but they literally used him. Because I was thinking, I request your life, like, in service, not in death. but he did. So then, it's Moriarty.
You could tell he was broken. He was not going to be able to act his way out of that. Like, he could do it for that little time, saying, like, my family's dead, but I'll still fight for you. That's, like, all the strength he had. There's no way he could push through a full, you know, parliament hearing and all that kind of stuff. So...
yeah.
Then
Moriarty zip lines to the roof and says, I'm the Lord of Crime and I've just killed this man and I killed his family. And he basically just takes all the blame on himself, steals it from Milverton, steals all the credit for this, and shifts the whole public's opinion now to Whiteley's completely innocent, totally a victim. Lord of Crime is the bad dude and we got to stop him. And Whiteley was our best shot, and now he's gone. Ed sets it up for whatever Moriarty wants to do next, basically.
I don't know if it's like that. I think it's more like, oh, if the Lord of Crime wants to kill this guy, his views on class structure is right. Because if the crime guy doesn't like him, this is what we need to do. So more people will be pushing for Whiteley's ideas. It wouldn't be like, oh, no, now we don't have more hope. It's, oh, he was right because he was targeted. His whole family was killed because of his ideals. He must be doing the right thing. That's my opinion.
That's a opinion.
I said mine. My opinion.
Yeah, I mean, everybody can have a wrong opinion.
Hey, I don't think it's wrong.
No, it's actually really good. It's a good point. Because... Moriarty's hope was that Whiteley would take it, would do what he wanted to do, and there wouldn't be a need for Lord of Crime anymore. He doesn't necessarily want to have the Lord of Crime around. He's like, oh, cool. If Whiteley takes care of this in the courts and parliament, we don't got to do anything else. So I think he was kind of hoping that Whiteley would take it the distance. But unfortunately, murdering someone's family in front of their eyes potentially ruins their ability to see clearly.
Yeah, puts a little damper on it.
Darkens the mood.
Yeah. I really liked Moriarty's last two statements of the episode. Talking about who, what will win necessary evil or pure evil. Yes. I'm gonna battle you, Milverton. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's a fun concept to get behind. That'll be
evil.
That'll be good.
Evils.
Oh yeah, both fun. Evils.
Which the necessary of two weevils.
So if I can move us forward a little bit, which is kind of why I didn't love, actually a big reason why I didn't love this next episode, since we're so late in this, we don't know how many seasons, to like elevate it to this level and then just have a
one-off
episode. Yeah. And it felt very similar to the way it happens in the second Sherlock Holmes movie, where he's trying to get married and Sherlock's trying to break it up and figure stuff out. And I don't know if that was kind of that parallel a little bit, but
this felt like an episode like 6 or 7 for me. Like, why this should have been at the beginning of the season sort of episode. You know what I mean?
It seems that, I mean, besides the tie-in at the very end to Milverton again, it was just kind of like, what are we doing here? So late in the season. Now, if it's going to be multiple seasons, which I can never remember if we figured that out, but if it's multiple seasons, this is fine. But otherwise, it's like, wow.
I want to say they're still writing the books.
They are.
Yeah.
Because I have a brother. His name is Gene.
Really, Gene?
No, it's there not. You go. It's really Gene.
And I saw him today.
I can't do it like you, Ben. I'm sorry.
anyway,
as
Gene
I was
told
speaking,
me...
I was like, this isn't good enough. I should just let Ben do it.
just stop. Yeah, that's why it failed, because you lost confidence halfway through.
I did. I was halfway through my sentence.
It's really Gene. Gene is reading it, and he's ahead of us, basically. And he told me like a non-spoiler snippet of like what's involved, and I was like, yep, none of that is happening in our episode.
Oh, so who said that?
Gene's
really Gene.
Well, yes. So they're, well, actually I know for a fact they're doing more, because this year, I was very happy about this year, or very end of last year, they came out with 2 OVA episodes, which we're going to cover on this show. But that wasn't, I think it's this year, because that wasn't there when we picked this show initially.
Oh.
So like, even since we've been decided to do this show, new content's come out. At least it's just 2 episodes, but that speaks to me. There's still interest in doing this show.
All right.
There's source content. They've done 2 new bonus episodes since we've really been involved with the show. So it's potential to do another season. I guess we'll see how this one ends. If this one feels like there's still a lot of loose stuff and they just kind of tied up one of the aspects of the show, then I would say there's probably hope to do another one.
Hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, this episode was kind of a one-off. It was fun, but it wasn't exciting. So like the Whiteley episodes, wow, those were intense. This one's like, hey, John shows up. He's got a girlfriend. / fiance. Her name's Mary. Very excited. We're going to get married. Sherlock's like, what the heck? I don't want this. She's fishy. Blah, blah, blah. And very like moody Sherlock's sort of deal. And it's just like a little treasure hunt episode. She's got this treasure that her father inherited. And then there's his friend of his that's took it, and we're going to go find it. And there's murder. There's mayhem. And it's really not that big of a deal, because the treasure ends again. I'm just kind of glossing over it, but like, we can hit on specific things, but all the important stuff is at the very, very end. You're like, oh, it's tied to Milverton. Oh, okay. But it's literally just like at the very, very end, the person that's blackmailing Mary is Milverton. And so now we've tied in Sherlock Holmes. So now Sherlock and Moriarty are tied to Milverton. We've set up that piece of the puzzle, blah, blah, blah. But like, the treasure gets thrown in the river. So
yeah,
the treasure doesn't even end up in anybody's hands. It's thrown in the river Styx and gone. So
nice. Yeah. The last episode was so intense, so heartbreaking, so tragic. If you're going to do another episode that's not just as intense, you got to go like a 180. It's got to be funny. Like, if it was just an episode about funny ways that Sherlock tries to break them up, I would have loved it. Because, like, you know, it would have been a complete palate cleanser. But it was like just, it was so kind of dull because they didn't.
Yeah.
They kept it kind of serious.
I think.
But it wasn't intense serious.
It was supposed to be serious because it's like John and Mary's relationship. But we just met Mary. So if this was our only exposure to Sherlock Holmes, we're like, why do I care what happens to John and Mary? I just met her. She could be like, there's part of me that's like, oh, they are going to break up because she's fishy. So I want her gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not rooting for them. So.
Sorry. Ben, did you have a problem with Mary in the BBC version?
BBC.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I'm not placing her.
What about Mary?
I'm going to Google her real quick. I can't remember her.
I didn't necessarily have a problem because Sherlock just gives those little digs all the time about John being married, and it's more comedic. So it's good. But she does have a serious side in that show too. So.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I did not remember her at all.
Oh, I learned something about Sherlock that was kind of interesting. I was watching a video listening to a video from, do y'all know who Brandon Sanderson is? Fantasy author. My favorite fantasy author. No.
I know the name just because of,
Cool. Cool. Anyway, he was doing a little video. It was like 5 for 5 and they invite a guest and they, in his little podcast vlog thing, and they'll do like 5 of their favorite something. So it's 5 of favorite classics. And the guest, one of his was Sherlock Holmes. Or sorry, it was actually Brandon Sanderson's. And he picked the whole collected work, and the way they had defined classics was if it was free domain. Or public domain.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Actually, it's a good metric. But he said there was a weird loophole when the Sherlock Holmes went public domain. Somehow only the first half of the collected works went public domain, and the second half did not. So there is an estate that owns the second half of Sherlock Holmes. So with public domain items, you can make an anime about those characters and not get in trouble. That's why you can make a Sherlock Holmes anime. Nobody's going to get in trouble because it's
Without paying the royalties.
Without paying royalties or getting permission from the estate. However, he mentions in this clip, super funny. It's really hilarious. The estate has been suing people if they depict Sherlock being nice to people, because that only happens in the second part of the collections. So if Sherlock is moody and like mean and snarky and sarcastic, all's well. You can continue on with your show or your book. But if he's nice to his friends and clients and stuff, they will sue you because that's copyright infringement.
Wow.
That's really funny. It's really funny to me, actually. It's pretty darn funny. So like I'm like replaying Sherlock in our show, and I'm like, yeah, he is mean and moody and he has nice moments, but like he's moody in this one. Mm-hmm. He's not nice by any means. And it's like, oh, they would have sued this animation company and manga artist if they had written about him being nice. So that's very funny.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. I mean, that must explain why there's always that layer of sarcasm in every single adaptation of that character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, eventually
you just can't be genuine.
Like, you can't write nice Sherlock. That's not public domain. Too funny. Too funny. Just like the treasure being thrown in the river.
You know one really cool moment this episode?
What?
Let's
was on the boat
on the
whenever
boat.
John pushed Sherlock aside because of Blow Dart Bob. Ooh,
Blow Dart Bob.
Yeah. And then they both shot him at the same time in both shoulders. I was like, let's go. Oh, that was awesome.
That was pretty cool. The boat chase was actually pretty fun.
That wasn't bad. Yeah.
I like the boat chase. Again, it the climax of that, you kind of felt it coming. You're like, ah, they're either going to get the treasure. The bad guys are not going to keep the treasure. Like, you just know that. It was a very clean episode, like full package, little ribbon. But the boat chase was pretty fun because I don't think we've seen a boat chase. And boats are notoriously slow back then. So like that sort of chase is very, it's not like a speedboat. It's like, it's like a tugboat chase. So it's very funny because they're both going slow. So it's still a chase, but you're just like, this is anticlimactic in some ways. So it's like, it'd be like if two pontoon boats were chasing each other. you'd have time to jump off the top and get back on during the chase and just keep swimming and enjoying yourself while the boats are chasing each other.
That makes me think of Book of Boba Fett. Did either of you watch that show?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah,
it had the worst chase scene of all time. Of all time.
You're talking about the bikes?
Yeah. Yeah, where they're like hardly even moving. It's like, I could have ran faster than them. And they're like going through Tatooine. And it was painful. It was so painful.
Oh, man. I'm almost done with season 3 of The Mandalorian. Finally. Good gosh. What did I do? Go to Japan and not finish it? Gosh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Stupid.
Speaking of which, when are we going?
Great question.
This needs to get on the calendar.
Because going to Ohio worked so well the first time.
Hey, we made it. We went, didn't we?
We did go. It took 2 tries. So
yeah.
I mean, I was even 2, there.
Maybe 3. It's true. I was shocked when I walked
in. We weren't sure even that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very true. That was a good trip. Yes. Well, I'm going to need to save up a little bit of money again since I just went. But
excuses.
I know. I'm sorry. Maybe I could have a garage sale.
Hey.
Well, when are you going? Because at some point you're... Okay.
That's the goal. But it'd be like a year and a half, couple years still.
Okay. So. Well, that's fine. We can. I need to save up some pennies too. So
yeah. Start throwing pennies in a jar. And then, next year we'll check in about going.
Yeah, I got $7.50 by next year.
Hey, don't sneeze at that.
Yeah, that's probably a action figure right there.
That's a small Pokemon.
Hey, that's still a Pokemon. You know what I'm saying?
That's still a Pokemon in Japan. So
that's a box and a half of cereal.
That's 7 cans of coffee. There you go. Which you love. So grimace. I feel like we're wrapping up early for Moriarty, but do y'all have anything else?
Yes, I do. We're going back one episode. We're going back one episode, boys. To the Fred fight.
Oh,
another disappointing thing about that fight was how it ended. Because Fred's on the ropes, he's fighting big man and little guy with a knife, and little guy with the knife comes running in. And how does Fred get out of that?
Lewis teleports into the room.
Yeah.
Lewis comes in with a knife and you're like, oh, and he's like, don't worry, Fred, I'll take care of this. I'm like, yeah, we're going to finally see Lewis do something. He doesn't do anything.
They run away.
They just go out the window.
Yeah, they just leave. I was like,
was that because everything had wrapped? Is that because everything had wrapped up in the house by that point?
Everything had wrapped up. Their advantage was gone because now Lewis was there too. So they're just like, well, let's just leave.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense to be honest. Like, I feel like more bad guys should do that, and they don't.
Oh, it makes sense. And then they lose. I was sad because I wanted to see Lewis do something with his knives.
I'm sure he'll do something at some point.
Yeah, well,
hopefully. I don't know.
We're on episode 22, and he hasn't done much.
Yeah, maybe he will at some point.
A lot of hints that he's good with those knives, but we don't see much.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of hints that he's sickly too. So.
That was a good callback. We didn't bring up Lewis.
Lewis.
Yeah, where do you think he was? Do you think he was like under a rug or something?
He was in the bathroom.
Oh, he was in the bathroom. He's like, oh my gosh, Fred, I'm sorry.
Oh, dude, you started early.
I said I'd only be 5 minutes, and then I started texting, and I checked Facebook.
You know
how
stakeouts go. Just time ran away from me.
Yeah. Oh, and then YouTube. I went down the YouTube bunny trail. Oh, gosh, I'm just lost.
Yep. Dude, the YouTube bunny trail. Oh, my word. I went down the YouTube bunny trail last night. I was doing laundry, and the 20th anniversary of Beautiful Letdown but Switchfoot has come out recently. I don't know if y'all listen to Switchfoot, but that is a big deal for me. And I just went down this massive rabbit hole of like music from my high school years on YouTube. And I was like, yep, I've got to turn this off, but I need to watch one more music video. And it just kept going.
That right there, that encapsulates the YouTube. Is I gotta turn this off, but I just gotta see one more
video.
But oh, it just suggested this. Okay, yeah, this one, and then I'm done.
It's like,
and
whoa, I haven't seen this one.
Yeah,
yeah.
The YouTube.
That's funny.
The YouTube.
Oh man,
gotta love the YouTube. Yeah, it's deadly. Social media, man, it'll get you.
There's good bunny trails on there, though.
Oh, there's tons. Like it was super fun. I loved hitting all those memories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does YouTube what, Cole?
I was just going to say, does YouTube count as a social media website?
I think technically it does, because there's comments. You as a user can still interact. It's not just businesses and stuff. Okay. I'm pretty sure YouTube is still social media.
I guess I don't know
And when it originally started, it was purely user content. Like it wasn't very professional at all.
Yeah.
It's basically a clean e-bombs world. Remember e-bombs world? That could mean yes or no. Yep, you can do it again. Anyway,
I'm a for sure no.
Okay, well, y'all were good, decent people then. So
yeah, we were.
It was mainly trash on there. So
hey,
I wasn't allowed to go on it as a child. Also, wasn't allowed to have a MySpace. Never had a MySpace. There was only predators and perverts on there.
And aliens.
Yeah.
And aliens. Yeah. That was what the community around me said. So
predators, perverts, and aliens. Who will win?
That is definitely a horrible B film horror movie right there. That's when Predator and Alien are public domain and they're like, let's just throw in a third one. Perverts. Oh man, hilarious. Well,
oh man,
we have really stretched out this episode to be almost at that hour mark, but yeah. Ben's looking at his clock. It's like,
I can't tell. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
How much longer are we going to go here? But yeah, I'm excited. We have 3 episodes left in the official season, and we're probably going to do all those together. And then we're going to do, we've got 5 episodes total. We've got 3 episodes in the official season. We've got 2 little bonus episodes that I think are kind of smaller, like kind of more isolated episodes. They'll be fun to do. It'll be a fun like ending to our Moriarty journey. But yeah, we'll keep going. We're almost done with Moriarty. Very exciting. I've really enjoyed this show. Very excited to see where it lands in our rankings.
Mm-hmm.
I think I know where it's going to land in the general categories, but I'm curious numbers wise where it'll end up sticking. But
yeah,
Kolb is the only one that truly I always have to guess, because me and Ben end up putting ours in ahead of time.
Yeah, we do.
But Kolb's like, I will purely never do that.
Yeah, he does.
Yep, that sounds like me.
Yeah, he's a purist. Purist.
No, he's not. He's really Gene.
Amen to that. Well, it's been a pleasure. We really appreciate you guys listening. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. And we will see you again next week on Three Dads Talking About Anime.
What do you get when you add 2 + 1?
You get three dads talking about anime.
What do you get when three guys love anime?
You get three dads talking about anime.
What do you get when those three guys start having kids?
Children, dads, and so
become fathers
and each have kids
separately.
Went on to each didn't play separate ways.
What happens?
So
you get three dads talking about anime.
Three dads talking about anime.